Well, I don't know if some of the speakers out there have a tendency to be working on a message and then something come up during the week that puts you off on a different angle for another message. And my message today was something along that line, because the title of my split sermon today is Watch Your Step. Watch your step. And from a literal point of view, I was thinking about this very thing, because last Sunday, my wife and I went over to Melissa's house because she just had her roof completed. So I took a magnet over there to get up the nails throughout her yard, which there were a lot of nails on the ground. And also one in my shoe. Thus the title, Watch Your Step. Well, let me tell you, when you have neuropathy in your feet from diabetes, that's the time you start wearing metal plates or brick soles for your shoes so you don't have nails coming up into your foot. It was rather shocking to Charlotte and Melissa to see this nail, because they said, lift your foot. Left foot was good, right foot, now there's this nail sticking up in there. Are you in pain? Well, no, because the nerves being basically dead in your feet from neuropathy, it was just there. So, but of course, tetanus shot later, I'm all good, ready to go. But it did change my message for today. You know, even some of you out there have heard from the greeters at the door on Sabbath, watch your step as you're coming in the door, because of that little area at the door there that you could catch your foot on or trip on when entering the hall. Because if you're like me, you're very interested in the safety of each and every one of us here today. Not just here, but when you're at home. Being a husband, being a father, being a grandfather. And most importantly, being a brother in Christ to our spiritual family, safety is important. But it isn't just the physical event of stepping. It is the spiritual necessity to the phrase, watch your step. And God's written word is full of examples for us to go through. Of course, we can't cover them all today, but I will be touching on a few examples. Because watching your step is, how do you act? How are you in your life? Not just walking, but walking with God each and every day in your life. Are we walking as Christ walked? You know, it looks like everyone made it here safely today, which is always good to see everyone. And even in some of our prayers, our closing prayers, we pray to God to help us have safe travel back to our homes. Even at our homes, we may encounter certain surfaces or hazards that may cause us to possibly stumble. And there's a lot of elderly people here, me included, because it only takes a split second to not focus or concentrate for something to happen. And of course, if you're like me in the middle of the night, you don't turn lights on when you get up to go wherever, you just sort of meander through your house in the dark, which invariably you may run into something. Even here in the Tampa Hall today, we have our potluck that's been mentioned. We have to be very aware of any blind corners, or especially in the kitchen and the dining area, spills on the floor. That could possibly be a slipping hazard, but we always need to be watching out for one another. And that's something to remember for this evening at our potluck. But watching our step, our contact with God in Jesus Christ on a daily basis, our daily walk with God, is vital to our spiritual life. And this is our life. God is our life, our calling that God has granted us. We're to keep a firm grip on our daily prayers, our daily Bible study, and our meditating. They're all vital to our growth. I was actually looking at the calendar of 2022, the year that's coming. And you will see there are 65 days associated with the weekly Sabbath and annual holy days. Two of the holy days actually fall on a Sabbath. But there are 65 days, that's 18% of the year, associated with commanded from God, commanded days that we're to be assembling before God. 18%, which means there's 300 days remaining, 82% of the year, that you're either working, you're traveling, whatever your life actions are. 300 days, 82%. But when you stop and think, how well do we keep, first off, that 18%? Those 65 days, are we keeping them 100%? Are we doing what we're commanded? And then watching our step, not only for those days, but also the other days of the year. Hopefully we never miss a day without contact with God and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Because we know that Satan is our biggest hazard, a real hazard. And we recognize that and we need to avoid that hazard at all costs. We read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, you don't have to turn there, I'll just quote it. This is where it's talking about our adversary, the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't matter what day of the year, he is always walking around, seeking whom he may devour. Now, during the last days of our Savior's life, on his way to Jerusalem, and before he was turned over to the Jewish leaders, there are some examples of his disciples and some of what I would call missteps. Their thought process. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 9. Let's go to verse 51. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 51. Here we're talking about the sons of Zebedee, James and John, with Christ and his disciples were going towards Jerusalem. In verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he, Christ, should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. To prepare for him. And they, the Samaritans, did not receive him because his plan was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In verse 54, the sons of Zebedee, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven? And consume them, even as Elijah did? Yeah, well, I'll get to this in a minute about comparing that statement to how we think at times in today's world. But Christ said, verse 55 and 56, but Christ turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Let me ask you this. Fairly simple question based on verse 54. Have you ever thought of someone or some group that you wanted to call fire down from heaven to consume them? Or maybe some other judgmental point that you were making to get back or to straighten them out? You look around the world, you see the terrorist groups, you see looting, you see rioters, you see even around here, angry drivers, road rage, or polluters. You know, I've said before, one of my biggest complaints is all the litter that you see on the roads, everywhere. But we have to look at verse 55 as Christ, our elder brother, our Lord and Savior, says, what manner of spirit are we walking in when we think this way? On a daily basis. I mean, it just, there's that thought. You know, but we have to work to overcome that. They're all potential children of God. They just don't know that. Eventually, at their appointed time, they will. God will open that truth to them. But we see these same two individuals, if you would turn to Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 35. In Mark 10, starting in verse 35. I dealt with a lot of these verses I'm fixing to read when I was employed, working in a major corporation. There was always this competitiveness, people wanting to be elevated above others, even if they were just hired. Within a week or two, they expected to be managers. They expected to be running a department. But here we see in verse 35 of Mark 10, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto Christ, saying, Master, we would that you should do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And Christ said unto them, what would you that I should do for you? Tell me. What do you want? Verse 37, they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit, one on your right hand, the other on the left hand, in your glory. Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with, shall you be baptized. Verse 40. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Christ told his disciples that he was going to lead them, go and prepare a place, and then he would return. We're awaiting that return. We are looking so much for his return. In verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, because there was 12 disciples, so the other 10 heard it, there were 12 disciples, so the other 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called unto him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. So that layering system, hierarchy. So shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I've read these verses here, and you may be sitting there going, well, what does this have to do with watch your step? Really, what does it have to do? Well, we need to remember why we have been called by God. We're here to serve. We're here to serve one another, each and every one of you. We're here to serve. And not be seeking positions of importance. Jesus Christ stated that he must leave, as I mentioned, go and prepare a place for us, and he would return. And if we endure, if we stay the course to the end, of course, with God's help, God's mercy, God's love, God and Jesus Christ know what our positions and assignments will be. They're ahead of us. They will assign those positions, and they will be glorious. You read throughout God's Word, throughout the books of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, we see how it is phrased after the split between Israel and Judah. It talks about in both tribes, both nations, the kings walked in the sins of their father, or he did evil in the sight of the Lord. In the book of Judges, you read, you continue to read this, repeats. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God. And we see that all throughout the words that God had written and recorded for us. Throughout history, this is repeated. And even in today's world, there is little belief in God and his commandments. People want to believe what they want to believe. They want to worship how they want to worship. They want to decide what's best for them. Do these statements apply to us in any part of our life? Do we slip? Do we take missteps? Are there missteps in our lives that can be identified as evil in the sight of the Lord? Well, when we sin, yes, we're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Sin is sin, the transgression of God's law. Scriptures show the importance of being filled with the knowledge of God. We have to be drinking that in. We have to be asking God to give us that wisdom, to give us that knowledge of his word, to open his words more to us that we can see how to improve. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, starting in verse 9, read through verse 10. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. increasing in the knowledge of God. Not decreasing, but increasing, growing. For this reason, we also, as we said, since the day we heard it, can you remember the day that you heard God's word, that you understood and you wanted to learn more of God's word? Whether it's been recently or many years ago, decades, God's word is truth. God's word has not changed over that period of time, nor will it ever change. God wants us to pursue Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and to be fruitful in every good work, producing that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. If you would, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, that have received like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So we see it as God's divine power. Again, through the knowledge of God, this is where the knowledge is being fed from, is given to us from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. God is willing to give us that exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, God's nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, knowledge. Continue to seek that knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you, we want this to be in us, not past our grasp. We're still grasping for more and more and more knowledge from God. But how much is in us now that we're continuing to build upon and receive from our Lord and Savior and His Father? For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we want to be fruitful, not barren, not bare. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. We are not blind. We are not spiritually blind. And we can see far off. We can see what God has in store for us, that future, the kingdom of God, that eternity. We don't know exactly what happens after what is explained to us, but we know it will be precious in God's sight. It will be lovingly received from our Heavenly Father. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. You shall never stumble spiritually. You shall not fall out from God's way. We will stay close. We will stay adhered to the family of God. Verse 11, for such an entrance shall be given to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Godspeed that day. You would turn to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms 91. Psalms 91, starting in verse 5 through 6. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the epidemic that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that destroys at noonday. Now, these are some very comforting words. But what we must remember is they do not say that we will never experience terrifying situations in this life. Does not say we will never experience diseases or devastation. Though God often spares us from these. God is a loving God and the will of God, as he sees fit in our life. But when these do come, we're to be confident in God's care and his overall plan will help us to not be afraid. We need to keep growing in that understanding. That is, not live in fear. Even this does not mean that we will never go through doubting moments of worry. We're human. Our physical brain, our physical mental actions, doubt, anxieties, we're still going to have that. But we have a loving Father that we can go to at any time of day. Rather, the idea is that if we earnestly seek God, our lives will not be characterized by fear, but by faith. God is for us. In the same chapter, Psalms 91, verses 14 through 16, you can read those now or later. I'm just going to comment on them. We see that God himself speaks within the words of the psalm, of these verses. Verse 15 assures us that he will answer our prayers and that whatever troubles do befall us, he will be with us in them. God will be with us. God is always with us. We're the ones that push God away. God is always there for us to come to him, to be walking with him. He will be there with us, helping us to endure whatever that may be. Moreover, we see again here that God will deliver us. You look at verses 14 through 15. But we must remember, if not immediately, God is still with us. And over time, whatever God sees fit, and certainly when we are later resurrected, and we are so looking forward to that moment, Christ's return, that resurrection, when we are later resurrected to be in his kingdom, we will know that long life and salvation, as mentioned in verse 16, applies most fully to that future time. But God also blesses us in this time. He blesses his people with longevity and deliverance in this life. I mean, just look around at the longevity. I'm not saying look around the old people. I'm just saying look around the longevity. Okay? Look around at God's sons and daughters. I mean, look at the 10-year-olds, the 16-year-olds, the 18s, the 21s. You take it up by decade, however you want to approach it. God blesses his people. We're here today on the Sabbath day before God. Remember the blessings and you give God thanks for those blessings. So let's watch our step, because we all need to support one another in watching our step, to be focused on our Father and his plan for mankind, and seek where we can serve others, each and every one of you, and to stay safe in our daily life by looking and staying close to our Lord and Savior and our Father, because we are to have that daily walk with them. Because we are all important to God and to Jesus Christ and to his church and to our family, to each other. So enjoy the rest of the Sabbath. We look forward to the potluck meal. Again, a thumbs up on the least, you know, the turkey side of it. She wouldn't let me cut into the pie or the other stuff she made, so she wouldn't turn her back either, but anyway, and she knows me. So it's always a pleasure seeing everybody. Y'all take care out there.